What up, anals? And by anals, of course, I mean Asian, not Asian listeners. Just want to make a quick announcement about our next Hack City stand-up comedy show happening October 14th, 7:30 Eastern at Union Hall in Brooklyn. I'm going to be visiting from LA for a week, so it'll be me and Mike together. We haven't done that in a while, so if you're in New York or in the Tri-State area, please come check it out. Ticket links are in the episode description of this podcast, or go to our Instagram and click on our bio link, or just go to asiannotasianpod.com.
It makes sense, you know, when we're like attracted to like people that maybe look like us too.
What are you doing, step cousin?
What's going on here?
I'm stuck in this laundry machine.
What's going on? I'm stuck in the laundry machine.
And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, a podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Today is Saturday, October 2nd. We're coming at you live from all over the United States of Americas.
We really are. If you're listening to this on the podcast app, please leave us a review, hit 5 stars. We'd love to hear your fucking commentary. If you're on YouTube, hit like, subscribe. If you're on Spotify, hit follow so you can always be up to date with the latest shit. And of course, tell all your friends.
Tell your friends. What is that called again in marketing? Net Promoter Score?
Oh, yeah. We want NPS. that positive net promoter score.
That's what we need.
Whatever that is. Yeah. We're marketing agents.
Before we get into it, we always give a shout out to our newest Patreon subscribers. What is Patreon? It is the best way to support the podcast. We are a completely independent operation. We're not with any network. And so what you can do is go to patreon.com/asiannotasian and give us a monthly subscription or sign up and give us some money. And in return, you get like bonus episodes and all kinds of fun stuff. And people are like, why would we give you money? Well, guess what? Mike and I kind of want to do this full time because it's like nice and we don't want to be in a cubicle forever. So if you want to support that dream, please give us your money. And then we've been getting a lot. It's been amazing. And in return, if you give us money, we will guess your ethnicity purely based on your last name.
We're getting so good at it. Yeah, dude.
And
that's we have like a 99% hit rate for sure.
I don't think that's true, but yeah, let's just do it. Let's do it. Okay, these are getting tough. These are tough. I mean,
these are tough.
I think our podcast is really killing it in Central Asia because some of these last names.
I was going to say, yeah, these are some, these are like straight up like Tartar names. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Gone are the days where it was just like Eric Chang or Joyce Park. Now it's just, I mean, this first person is Melissa Kanhirun. K-A-N-H-I-R-U-N.
Kanhirun. Fuck. Kanhirun. Damn, I don't know anything. Fuck. This is is Central Asian. This is like a Turkish.
Well, Khan. I think Khan is something. Khan is like Genghis Khan vibes, right?
Word.
I don't know. Kanhirun. It honestly sounds like a village from Naruto or something. To be honest with you.
Yeah, that's tight. That's tight.
Okay. Well, we're gonna it's a 50-50 split between you're either a Mongolian Asian or a Hokage Asian, and that is a reference.
You know what I love, though, is that if this person's Mongolian, the first name, just Melissa. Just Melissa. Just people in Mongolia, you know, they got, like, fucking hawks and shit, but then they got basic names like Jessica.
Yeah.
You know? That's tight. That's tight as shit. I love it.
All right, next we have Carl Romanos.
Romanos. You know, usually if it's, like, Latinx sounding, then we say Filipino, but I think this person straight up is like a Bensonhurst fucking Italian dude.
I don't think.
Swear to God.
It's not a Spanish last name. This is like an Italian last name.
Yeah.
Like Ray Romano.
Exactly.
You're right.
This is like
an old school Tony Soprano Asian Italian guy.
This is a Tony Soprano, lived in Bensonhurst for a long time. Now he lives in Jersey.
I think he used to be in the mafia, but like has always had an interest in Asian culture, but wasn't allowed to express himself because he's in the fucking gang. But now things are a little bit more open and I think he's, I don't know. I think he's into it. So anyways, thank you so much. Tell your capo, we said hi. next we have,
oh my God.
Biaka, B-I-A-K-A.
Biaka.
Zider Hazav, hold on. I'm going to get it right because I don't want to be that fucking guy. Zider Zalva. Z-A-I-D-A-R-H-Z-A-V-U. This is a Final Fantasy boss. is this, what this is. This is the last.
Yeah, this person's got mad hit points.
Yeah.
Oh my god. This is a level 20 you know, and what is this, what does this Final Fantasy boss look like? Riding a horse,
yeah.
Maybe has wings for arms.
Yes, wings for arms. Yeah,
wings
yeah.
for arms.
Definitely, like, yeah. Like the special move is like ice related for sure. Like a lot of
yes,
like,
ice related for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Heavy ice. But then also does the annoying thing where it heals itself when it's about to die. It's like
I
casts,
hate that shit.
It casts like healing five,
I
and you're just like,
that
fuck
shit.
Fuck you. Anyways, you're a wings for arms Asian.
Thank you, Bianca.
Bianca
Zaidarzava. And last but not least, we have hey, let's end it with a nice ass just a nice regular ass good old actually I don't know if this is Chinese or Korean. Abraham Lee.
I'm gonna say Korean. Abraham?
This guy's Korean. This guy actually hit me up.
Korean.
If you're actually in LA, Mike, we should go. He hit me up and was like, you guys can come eat for free at my restaurant. And oh, you know what? He said that he offered Dumbfounded the same thing. He said, hey,
we're gonna get into it.
I don't know if our guest went with him or not, or maybe he just went alone. I'm not sure. But anyways, he was like, we serve crab and you can eat for free. But I've been embarrassed to go alone. So I've been like, I'm busy, but I'm like not busy at all. So anyways, once I make friends or when you come visit, we shall go.
I would love
Abraham.
That if you go though and you're just like in the corner, don't talk to anybody the whole time and just like eating crabs and then stand up and leave. It's
yeah,
like, oh, fuck
it's no
this.
Good, man.
I'm out.
It's no good. Anyways, yeah. That's our Patreon shout-outs. Go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod to join the cause. Let's start this pod like we always start, how we always do it. Mike, what kind of Asian were you this week?
Yo, I was a past Asian.
Past
as in like P-A-S-S-E-D, as in I got passed at the stand.
Explain what that means to our listeners.
So for people who are not comedians, which is everybody, getting passed at a place means you got hired. You're basically like... you're like, you pass the audition and you're allowed to be put in the rotation at this place. So the stand is one of the clubs in New York City. I would say one of a nice club. There's a lot of shitty clubs. And this is one of the nice ones. It's like the food is actually good. It's actually kind of a cute place. It's pretty big. They have tons of shows. There's a lot of famous comedians and infamous comedians, I would say, that are there.
Shane Gillis, anybody?
But there was tons of comics there.
So how's your
team? And I mean, I crushed it. I went up there and I got passed right away. Like the Patrick was there and he was just like, you want to, hey, how would you like to work here? It was fire. Okay.
Oh, that's such a nice, like, I feel like when you get passed, it's not, well, actually, I don't know because I'm not passed at any club, but I didn't know how I never knew how it goes down. Is
yeah,
it really like,
yeah.
How would you like to work here? That sounds so like 1970s yeah. Hollywood vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Yeah. Hit the big time, baby. Yeah it was like that. Yeah. And, it was a really nice feeling. And because I'm such a corporate Asian, the next day I followed up with a nice follow-up email.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Send him a little fruit
like,
basket.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to working for this organization. This is the approval I was really seeking. Fumi's approval. Okay. Senpai, please.
That's great. I'm so proud of you.
I was see. That's
awesome.
Honestly, I was honestly. I posted it, and then we were in the group chat, group text, and you're like, "Hey man, congratulations!" And I was like, "That's the real pass for me." Fumi said, "Congratulations." You know how hard it is for Japanese comedy salarymen to say congratulations.
There's too much the love right now, and I want to move on from this. This is as a straight man, it's making me uncomfortable.
Well, come see me at the stand at the one or two shows it will put me up at because I'm still just a bottom guy. So, but yeah, it'll be cool.
Mike,
what about you, Fumi? Bottom. What kind of Asian were you there? What kind of Asian were you this week?
Yeah, real quick before we introduce our guest. This week I was a closer bond Asian, okay? A closer bond Asian. Mm-hmm. And you know, what can I say about the closer bond Asian that hasn't already been said, really? Closer bond Asian, I'm coming back to New York for a week in October, right? I've been in LA for 2 months working, and I'm coming back for a week because I have a week off. And I wanted to reunite with my Asian friends. And so I've been talking to this with my therapist about how, you know, I got to try a little bit. You have to put in some effort to connect with your friends. And so I emailed about six of my close Asian friends, and I said, hey, I'm going to be back this week. Would love to get dinner with you guys, maybe separately or together would be cool. Would love to like eat some Korean barbecue or something and catch up, right? And then I titled the email Asians Assemble. I was being cute, you know. And then what happened is I might be misinterpreting this, but what followed was a series of really specific requests and needs and wants from everybody.
Like,
what I was expecting was like, oh, sounds great. Like, let us know where you want to go. Like, these are the dates I'm available. What I got, I'll read you some of the email. I'm not going to give any names. If you're listening on this email chain, hey, this all comes from a place of love. Okay, so I said, I'm going to be in town from October 10 to 15. We'll love to grab dinner with you guys all that week if our schedules align. 1,000 exclamation marks because it's me. I want to eat Korean barbecue. Let me know, Fumi. Then the next email says, let's do Bakjeong, which I assume is a restaurant name. Okay.
Okay.
Then the following email goes, I'm in. Not to make things controversial, but I vote we stay in Brooklyn for dinner. Then the next one is, I want to eat at Gopchang Story, but I'm fine with regular Gopchang barbecue. Story.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the next one was, no, let's stay in Brooklyn. Let's go to Dokkaebi. Like, it was just like not the vibe I was expecting at all. And then initially I was like a little thrown off because I was like, what the hell? Like, I hate organizing things, you know? And maybe this is the Japanese in me, but I was like, everybody just kind of like saying what they want. But then, and like, by the way, no LOLs or emoji in this email thread, okay?
Where's all the LOLs?
There are no LOLs to be found. And I was like, what is going on? But then I was talking about it with another friend of mine, and she was like, you know, maybe it means you guys are like closer now, because I feel like when Asian people get close, when they get too close, this happened with me and you, when we get too close, we become like siblings and we annoy each other.
Yes. Right? Oh my God.
And
yes,
I think
so
that is what's happening with this email thread, you know, because I was expecting like a polite conversation among seven adults who we can work out a dinner plan. People are just like throwing out suggestions. They're not even asking me what I want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's, but that's Asian family dynamics, right?
Yes.
So I feel I feel like I got closer with them. That's how I'm choosing to interpret the situation.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, right off the bat, didn't know you had Asian friends. Swear to God. B, let alone six of them. B, not on this email list. I'm not. So I have no idea that this is happening. If you had thrown me in there, I'd been like, yo, fuck this place. Fuck this. We're all going to Olive Garden.
You would have thrown in a couple ha-has, you know, for me.
I would have been like,
for me, because you know how I like to communicate.
You know what's so funny, too, is it's so interesting how you say that you use ha-has and LOLs, and you have bits about this. You have bits where you talk about, like,
I put LOLs when I sexed. That's like the bit.
Yeah, yeah, when you sexed, you're like, you like to see my dick, LOL, ha, you know? Yeah.
Nice boobs, ha-ha-ha. Yeah.
Ha-ha-ha. Nice areola, LOL. But it's funny because when we chat, we have a group chat with Fawn, our producer, and we all have muted it because I think on there, we are so blunt with each other.
We're
I don't like this. I don't want this. Do change this date. Fawn, do this.
Yeah.
Fawn is a saint. She's always she's a saint. But like you and I, we're just like, no, yes, no.
We never
LOL or haha me ever.
That's true.
There's this whole other world where I'm like, Fawn is a nice, I mean, not Fawn, where Fumi is a nice person. Don't even know what this, have no idea that this existed. Don't even think this is real. I want you to forward me this email. But I feel you. I do, it doesn't sound like people are, you know, upset or anything, which is good.
Yeah.
But
I think
you know, it's tough when everybody, you know, gets a little older and it just gets harder. You know, like when you're in your 20s, you're like, right? Like you kind of like take the hit of, I'm going to go out and we're going to go to this place. Maybe it's not the place I want to go to, but everyone's going to go and it's going to be a little expensive and it's going to be kind of annoying because there's 18 of us, but that's like, everybody kind of goes along with it. But now that you're, you know, when you're in your 30s, you're like, listen, I'm not made of money, okay? If I'm going to go out and spend a bunch of money at this thing, I want to at least do the thing near my house
so that I can take my shoes
off earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
I don't think it came from a place of hate, but I was just like...
No, I don't think so.
I guess for me, it was like, I didn't realize we got that close, and I started crying, you know? it was a nice feeling. But anyways...
Let me know where it is so I can I can just stop by, say hi.
I will not be inviting you, but that's good. Okay, guys, let's just get into the guest. She's been patient enough. She's been wanting to chime in. She's been taking notes.
She did. Oh my gosh, we're so excited about having this guest. There was a whole saga involved with how this guest was supposed to come on. All right. I first met her, not really met her, but she was at Hack City. This was months ago.
Yes.
I saw her and I was like, that looks like our guest. That looks like, you know, this person that I should know. She like walked around me to go talk to Young Me, just dodge me.
And let it be known, Hack City is our show.
It's our fucking show. We run this. After that show, we're like gods. Okay? For like 10 minutes, we have the invincibility star.
Yeah.
Busted right through that.
Yeah.
Talked to Young Me. Then I had to DM her and I was like, hey, you know, blah, blah. I'd love to have you on the show. We were supposed to have her on a few, like maybe like 2 months ago. Then she booked an actual job from one of her, from her gig, a job. And then we had to reschedule. Then the next time she was supposed to be on, I forgot to confirm with her until like a minute before, which is nothing. And then we had to reschedule again. But now she's here. So
now
we're
she's
excited.
Here, she's here.
We're going to get into it because she has so many different titles. Actress, makeup artist, maybe,
hey.
Model,
hey.
Co-host
hey.
Of Fun with Dumb. Give it up right now for Steffi Babe.
Yay. Oh, yeah, I'm so excited. Hi.
Do you remember this dodging of me?
This is such a straight Asian guy energy right now.
don't even blame you because I saw these three blonde, maybe it was only just two and your friend, two blonde pixies who just appeared. I was like, clearly these people are fairies who are just appeared in the mortal realm and just went around to talk to Young Me. But do you remember this?
Like, this is the fucked up part is I don't even remember doing that.
Damn!
That's so fucked!
Damn!
I'm sorry!
Damn!
Yo. What, Young Me? I went there because, so the other girl with the blonde, she's kind of orange-headed, is my sister. And she's the one that invited me to the show.
Oh.
So she had an extra ticket, and I went, and, I've been following Young Me for a while.
Yeah.
So that was actually the reason why I was there in the first place. And then I saw, of course, but you know what?
I didn't do any
background work or like check on like, you know, but I have met you before.
It's cool. It's all good.
I've seen your work before.
I've been doing research on you and because I'm a creep. Because for the show. And for the longest time, I was like, hey, Fumi, we got to get Steffi on. You know, I think she'd be great. And he would just be like, what does she do? And I would be like, I don't know. Like, I thought for the longest time you were a makeup artist. But you're not. Are you? I don't know what it is. What would you say you're
If someone
sort
said,
of,
what do you do? What do you,
what do, you
answer
do?
That?
You know?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I get that question a lot. And I think I'm still trying to, like, I've come to a conclusion of calling myself an entertainer. But I realize sometimes when I say that now, people think it's like some sort of adult entertainment thing.
Oh, yes. Okay,
I have to be very careful with that.
I was going to say that, yeah. Yes.
I'm a creative, and you really did your research. Because to find makeup artists, I mean, that means like you kind of like went into, you like Googled and did the whole thing.
Yeah.
And
you went in.
I went to school in New York. My reason for moving to New York for like 4 years was to say like I did makeup. I went to school out there, but that was when I wanted to transition out of like my desk job, I guess, as a salesperson. And that I had done for like almost 8 years. And so like I moved to New York to do makeup and I did fashion shows there. And then I was like, okay, I like being in front of the camera. So I started modeling and then working on commercials. And I wanted to act. Once I started going to UCB Improv, I was like, oh, I fucking love this. So that's when I kind of transitioned into like the acting and just being in front of the camera world. So I kind of like do a little bit of everything. And I think because I'm newer into this industry, I don't have like a specific title. And I don't think a lot of like people in this entertainment, I mean, you guys know, you guys are like comedians, like, which is fucking cool, but I can't even, like, I don't think I'm at a place where I can, like, really put myself into, like, a box,
yet. Is it cool when people can just walk right by you and without acknowledging your body of work, or, no, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Mike, can I make you,
I don't
Mike,
have an, enough
Mike, can I, can I yeah. make you feel better? Let this be on the public record. Steffi, do you know that I was on your birthday show?
You mean
Exactly.
This is, yeah.
This is straight Asian guys vibes right now, bro.
This is so cool.
We're like so straight right now.
Yes, now that you say that.
No,
yeah.
There's no way. There's no way. What's my name?
Fumi. I know.
Wait, so which show was that, Fumi? Which one was that?
That was the Bobby Lee show that I was
talking
about.
Oh, the Bobby Lee show.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. But in her defense, there were like 1,000 Asian celebrities there. I didn't really talk to her. So, you know, there was,
I mean, Steffi, you raise a good point because, and this is something I wanted to talk about, was like, you know, Fumi and I, we do sort of lead with saying we're comedians.
Yeah.
Because that is sort of where we started. And now we're kind of like, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily an entertainer because I can't act or do anything else entertaining. So but it does feel to me, and I feel Fumi has kind of gotten this since he's been in LA, like LA people, LA like creative people, whether or not they're Asian or not, they kind of feel like they're generalist creatives. I don't know, does that feel true? Because I feel sometimes you meet a person in LA and they're like, yeah, I'm a comedian, but they're also a director and also does stunt work and also paints murals and or whatever the fuck it is. You know what I'm
absolutely
saying?
Like every Asian I've met out here has like multiple like background, like they're like artists, so they could do like anything just as long as it's in the creed. But the funny thing is they're creative, but they also have like they're like also like, you know, run a hedge fund, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, no, they run several boba restaurants, but then also
absolutely
a DJ, 100%. Yeah,
yeah,
and I think that's totally. That's part of their creativity is having money.
That makes sense. That makes sense, because I remember after that show that I did, that Steph doesn't remember me being on.
No, I do.
Would you remember this podcast?
They were like, too, okay? So I was fucked up. It was my birthday.
No, I mean, it's totally fine. I'm going to cry later and it's totally fine.
I feel like if you're not Asian, what I found is that the creatives and the fashion people here, instead of like, okay, so for Asians, I feel like they have like their, you know, they have their corporate job, but then like some other cultures out here, it's basically they have like a drug, they sell drugs. Like that's their side hustle.
That's their
so
hedge
if you're
fund.
Not, yeah. And I've been finding this as like a, you know, something that I've been noticing more and more.
Oh,
so
shit.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Whoa. Being a hedge fund manager is being a drug dealer, right?
Yeah,
can we all agree?
Yeah.
That's kind of the same thing.
True.
So like, I mean, I feel you've also had, you've had a couple of different phases in your life because you were also in real estate or something like for a while.
That was my longest job. Yeah.
Was that, so I mean, like, what's the timeline? Were you, so you kind of like you finished school. Did you go to college and then you went
I did in Orange County. I went to Irvine.
Oh, you went to UC Irvine.
Yeah,
makes perfect sense. I could have called it, but so you went to Irvine. And then you were a real estate person, or did you?
Yeah, and during that time, I also did real estate. So I got into it, and then I was like, "How am I gonna like survive?" I started studying for the MCATs because I went to school.
Oh my God, really?
I know. I finished my pre-med prerequisites like a good Asian girl.
Oh wow! Did you major in bio?
I majored in cognitive psychology.
Okay, and then but you did all the pre-med. Crap.
Oh, I did ever. Yeah, I finished it. I did all of that.
Wow.
I was actually the president of the American Medical Student Association. I was
very
involved. I know. Jesus. I was like very like I'm not gonna get the best grades because I was never like that smart. But I studied my fucking ass off, you know.
Sure.
And I was like, I'm just gonna like be in all like the clubs so that it could help me with like my to get into medical school.
Sure. Okay.
I was gonna, but when I was studying for it, I was like, I hate studying. And it takes me like 1,000 times longer to study. If I were to redo everything, I would have just like been an art student and like just partied my ass off, which I didn't do. I didn't party.
Right.
I didn't really. Well, my partying was basically like I did go out, but I didn't drink. I didn't do any drugs.
Right.
All my friends did. I just didn't do any of that stuff because I was like, I don't know. In my head, I was like, oh, like that's like. I'd be a failure to my family, like my parents' eyes.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right, right, right. Wow. Which is like such an intense, I feel. I mean, if you think about it, like if you're, there's like a big party and there's one person who's completely sober just in the corner, that's just like what an energy that is, you know? Right.
Yeah. But the thing is, I wasn't like, people thought that I was as drunk as them because at a party, if you party with me, you'll see I am very hyper. I am super excited. I'm like, I'm having like the best time of my life. I will like.
Sure.
dance my ass off. Like, it's, people think I'm fucked up, you know, like in that energy level. And I still, I'm like that now.
Steffi, I'm getting sort of mixed signals from you because you got the blonde hair. You're going to raves, but you used to be a pre-med person.
Well, we haven't gone to that yet. So
and,
at this time,
what I'm saying, it's like, what kind of Asian are you?
Yeah.
Like,
so
yeah, this is you know what I know what this is. This is a late. I'm a late bloomer.
You're like a late bloomer Asian.
You're not a late bloomer. How old are you? I mean, I don't ask. Yeah.
Don't ask me, please. It was my birthday.
It's LA,
right.
Bro. Come on.
It's LA.
Bro,
come
on.
It's
LA. What are you doing?
Come on. We're industry. All 24. Yeah.
We're all
okay, I gotcha.
24.
Right.
But I think that's what I am. I am experimenting, exploring. Not that I wasn't adventurous. I've always been fairly untraditional, but I think I forced trying to fit into a form, like some sort of box that I think. More so that my grandparents or my parents would be proud
sure.
of.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
wasn't really like, I think they all knew, my parents all knew, like they're like, yo, you're not smart enough. Cause they would like, they'd be like, you don't have to be a doctor. You can like, you take
oh,
a great hairstyle.
Have you thought about going to a rave? Have you thought about that? That's more your energy,
yeah.
Steffi.
Yeah. My mom.
Your grandpa.
Yeah. Exactly. She's like pushing like drugs on me at a young age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Put a little ecstasy. I put a little ecstasy in your tofu soup. Mm.
Yeah.
So you went to, you were a real estate person for a while. And then you decided to go to New York and kind of try that out. Is that how it went?
Yeah, I was in a really long relationship, like over 7-8 years. That was, yeah, during the time, and that's how I met him, was through real estate, and we became partners, and we started, you know, door knocking, prospecting, and created our business that way. So,
oh
like,
God.
A third of my life almost was with this person.
Right.
And I almost want to say, like, I kind of, like, you know, people have, like, their quarter life, midlife. I just feel like that's what's been happening, is, like, just having, like, these, like, new revelations. And me moving to New York and trying to make it as a creative or, like, do something, like, outside was another, like, part of my life where I was just, like, fuck, like, the corporate, like, or, you know, trying to just make money. That was all I wanted to do was, like, make money and, like, take care of my family. That was kind of why I got into real estate in the first place, and kind of like always lived for what like my family wanted me to do. Not that they even really put it on me. I think I just like, I've always been like co-addicted in a like codependent relationship with my mom. That's what it was.
So classic Asian stuff.
Classic Asian shit. And it wasn't until like way later in my life that I was able to break that off. You know, I really thought if I moved out of like, the South Bay or the, you know, where I was, like my mom would just be like so like sad and like mad.
Yeah.
And so even within my relationship when I was out here, I decided to like make the move, and it was really bad for the relationship. It was not so bad with my mom. I think she actually like was kind of like cool with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like the best time of my life was to just break that shit off. I guess this is like a very typical,
it's all about, yeah.
Yeah, like, thing. I just did this way later in my life. I just didn't. My sister was a little bit more adventurous, and she broke off earlier on because she went to school in the East Coast.
I always tell young people on the podcast, if you're a young person listening on the podcast, and let's face it, all of our listeners are young because we're so hip. And every time I meet like a young Asian person, I'm just like, number one thing. Move away from your parents. It's 100%. The first thing you have to do. That's why I think, deep down, my mom fled Vietnam. Okay? Yes. The country was falling
what
apart.
What a great excuse.
were there tanks coming into Saigon? For sure. But then my mom was like, you know what? Also, I'm going to go to Texas. She moved in the 70s or 60s to, you know, this the whole other fucking side of the world. So... I think that makes a lot of sense.
Going online without ExpressVPN is like changing while leaving your window wide open. You might not have anything to hide, but why give random creeps a chance to invade your privacy? Why should you use ExpressVPN? Well, you can browse more anonymously. It's easy to use and it works on all devices. Nice. I personally use ExpressVPN here at Asian.Asian. And it's amazing. You guys know those emails you get sometimes where it's some like random email on Gmail or something. And they're like, listen, I've been taping you watching porn. And if you don't give me $700, it's always like a reasonable amount, $700, I'm going to release this footage into the wild. You know, I've been using ExpressVPN. I have not gotten any of those emails.
Whoa.
Okay? So I can watch porn and know that the government is not watching me.
Yeah, take that, government. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Asian today. That's expressvpn.com/Asian. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Asian.
Well, you know me, Mike. You know me, right?
I know.
If you know this, if you know anything about me, you know that I'm out there.
Yes. You're out there.
I'm out there pounding. And a lot of people are like, Fumi, why are you so good at pounding? And by a lot of people...
Yeah. I always ask that. Yeah. I don't even believe you.
By a lot of people, I just mean Mike. The secret is, it is Helix Sleep Mattress. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for someone else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress that you know will be perfect for the way you sleep and pounding.
Everybody's unique and pounds uniquely. And Helix knows that. So they have a different, they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm, wink, wink, mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you get hot. And even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size sleepers. Because, hey, man, everybody needs love.
Just go to helixsleep.com/Asian. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to the customized mattress that will give you the best sleep/pound of your life.
They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for free for 100 nights, risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will.
Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helix.com/Asian.
That's helix.com/Asian for up to $200 off, and when you're doing your threesomes, 2 free pillows.
Now back to this.
I mean, Fumi, yeah. Do you feel like you kind of, I guess your quarter life crisis was you getting into comedy, right?
Yeah.
Was that your kind of thing?
Yeah, I was also, I don't know if I'd call myself a late bloomer Asian, like overall, but I guess I mean, because I started comedy when I was 24. It's so weird because I always say like, yeah, I had this like quarter life crisis, which is true because I started comedy around 24, but I had it because I was working in a cubicle. But the thing is, I got a job at 22, and I started comedy in 24, which means I only did it for 2 years until I was like, I can't do this anymore.
I can't do this anymore.
So ridiculous. It's not that long. It's literally not that long to work in an office for 2 years. And immediately I was just like freaking out about the rest of my life. It's like, I just can't be in this cube for the rest of my life on Excel or whatever. So that's kind of started. But I moved away from my parents at 18. So I feel like I've always been...
I mean, if you want to, really, technically, your parents moved away from you. They were like,
"That's true.
Peace, Fumi. Yeah. We're going to Mexico. We're free."
Oh yeah, I mean I haven't lived in the same city as my parents since I was 18, so that's like a whole other thing. But I think it like forces you to, because I think it's very common for Asian households to want to keep, especially if you're like a son, they like want to keep you around. And it's very easy to be like, "Yeah, I'm here for my family," because that's like that sounds like a very noble thing to say, and I'm sure that it is. But hey, man, just like your mom, you gotta live your own life. You know, there could be a war happening, but you gotta get out there, go to California.
Yo, as I'm hearing about all this, it just makes me realize like how like we need to break off kind of like the ties to be able to like grow up and do the things, and it could be relationships, any relationship.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and as Asians, like we grew up, and I don't even think it's just Asians. I think it's like a lot of immigrant families is that we have to break ties. We were so like tied into our families like so much that like we're like half of us is like a half of them.
I think even like sometimes the broader community that you're in, because like that ends up being your source of strength, but then also can like kind of hold you back. Because hey, how many times have your parents not wanted you to do something because it looks bad for the family in the face of the community, you know?
It's
something that they want to There's a benefit to it because you can rely on your community, but then there's also like a limit because this community is kind of judging you, and Asian people are judgy as fuck, so they're going to be about that. I feel you with the late bloomer thing, but you know, I mean, I didn't start comedy until until way late. And I only have just, you know, started, you know, getting past
working.
The clubs. I'm old as dirt. I'm old as shit, dude. And I'm just like, dude, I don't only got much time left. So, but you started doing comedy and now you're, you know, you got this good podcast going. I mean, like, tell us about that. Like what kind of drew you into like doing, you said you did improv at UCB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, you know, how'd that go?
It's really funny because in the beginning you're like, I want to take care of my family. And now you're like a podcaster. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah, fuck that. Now you're a podcaster. I need a suggestion from the audience. How about that?
Yeah.
I need a suggestion. Oh, what's that? What? Oh, take care of your mom? Can't use that one. Okay, how about another one?
Yeah, now I'm like, basically, like, don't have any money. it's like the complete opposite. Now I get it as like creative, like struggling financially and like dipping into like all my savings. I'm like, oh my God, this is not, and it's fucking so stressful. But my therapist always reminds me, like, you're going to be fine. She's just like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. I'm like, okay. So like, at what point do I start feeling like I'm going to be, you know, fulfilled fully? Like, where does it kind of like all come full circle? I don't know.
I fucking hate it when people say you're gonna be fine because they don't fucking know. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing why I think you're gonna be fine is because, well, I don't know how this is gonna come off. But I feel like, are we afraid that, I don't know, we're gonna end up like on the street or something like that? I don't think that something like that, like don't get me wrong, I think you can fall into debt, you can fall into certain things, but our sort of not making it is just going back to a corporate job. That's really what it is for
us.
You know what I'm saying? Which, hey, you know, that sucks in its own way if that's not what you want.
You know what it is? It's like, sure, I think, and people always use that as an example. It's like, you're not gonna die in a ditch because you have family, and if, like, to be honest, if I lost everything, I could move in with my parents in Mexico. I could make that happen if I lost everything.
Yo, hablo español, baby.
Exactly. Claro que sí. But I guess what I'm saying. I guess what I'm saying is,
I see you've been practicing, Fumi. Secretly practicing your Spanish.
My contract is almost up, so. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, I think it's gonna be tough living with knowing that you were rejected, if that makes sense.
That is really hard.
Mike, if you, like, let's just say, like, 5 years from now, you quit comedy or something, and you work in advertising, and you're doing great, but in the back of your mind, no matter how much they pay you, you're gonna flip on the telly, and you're gonna see, like, Usama, and you're gonna see Steffi, and all this shit, and it's gonna kill you inside.
Dude,
that's
what I'm talking about. Honestly, that is so on point. The thing that drives me always is, man, if I see Fumi get another thing without me getting something, I'm gonna be so fucking pissed. Okay? You know, we were talking about earlier about siblings, you know?
Yeah,
and who
yeah.
drives you the most sometimes is your siblings.
It's your siblings.
You know? Your family, the people who care about you, but also can fucking, like, turn the screw if they really want to.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like you honestly end up comparing yourself. I always think about this, Fumi. You told me before, the reason why you didn't go to, like, an Ivy League or even think about it was because the people around you didn't think about going there. Right?
Yeah.
But I feel like if you're surrounded by all these people who think, I'm going to make it, then in your mind, you're like, in your mind, you're like, I'm as good as you, you know? Fuck that.
Yeah.
You know? So I deserve this too, you know?
But sometimes that's half the game, though.
That is. You use the hatred, the hate, in order to keep up. Sometimes being a toxic, hateful person.
Hate drives
you. Yeah. Steffi, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
do you ever feel like that?
Yeah, because we're Asian. Our parents have been doing that shit since the beginning.
You're
never good enough. Compare yourself to the people around you. Just look at them. And you're like, okay. So we use that fuel.
That makes so much sense. Sometimes I think about, like, you know, the Toyota Prius? It charges when you brake. Okay, it uses the friction like a hybrid car uses every kinetic energy to charge the battery. I feel like Asian comedians do that with like every friction that you experience, whether it's like a producer telling you like, oh, we're not looking for Asians, or your jokes are too Asian, or like whatever it is, you know, we're like a Toyota Prius. We turn that shit into gas, you know what I'm saying?
Yo, yeah, dude. You hit the brake on us, dude. That just powers up our batteries more. You know? Hell yeah.
Listen, Mike, you know me on the podcast, I like to laugh like an insane person, spread joy through jokes and inappropriate comments. But is that how I feel on the inside in 2020? Absolutely not, Mike.
No, man.
It's a dark mess in here, dude. Sometimes I'm really sad. Sometimes I'm a little depressed. I'm really stressed. You know, and I think a lot of people with the pandemic, they're not really sure about job security. And that's a huge source of stress for a lot of people. And I think if any of our listeners feel this way, they should check out our sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
Connect in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient.
You can start communicating in under 24 hours.
This isn't self-help. It's professional counseling.
Send a message to your counselor anytime.
You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions.
Woo! All without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. You know how those waiting rooms can be, bro.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need it.
And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available.
Licensed professional counselors who specialize in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, and self-esteem.
I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/Asian. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/Asian.
So you were doing comedy, and from what I understand, you did 101 and 201. So there's, for people who don't know, like in improv, at a place like UCB, it's like it's a school, so there's like levels, right? So there's like, and there's, I think at UCB there was like four, and you do 1, 2, 3, 4, and then after that you kind of,
you like audition for house team.
Yeah, you can do all house teams. You can kind of like, it's kind of open ended after that. But you did a couple levels, right, Steffi? And then it sounded like you stopped, which I think is always a smart move. Yes. Do less comedy in order to be more successful at comedy.
Yeah. Yes. Well, the reason I even did it was actually because I was deathly afraid. Like, my number one fear was public speaking. Yet this is what I do now. And I think this is why I do it more, because, like, you know when you do that thing that you're like, oh, so deathly afraid of, and then you like do it and you're like, god damn, that was like exhilarating. Kind of a sense of like, I think we like to torture ourselves, again, like going back to like what our parents, you know, like putting that, instilling us. So like that feeling of like feeling tortured, like every day I would go to class at UCB and I was like, oh my god, I hate this so much. And like I was so bad. Like,
I get it. No,
like, I've seen even in my comments now, they're like, I had someone from like UCB, like my first class, like comment on like some pod I did, and they're like, who is this version of you? Like, this was not the girl I knew from class. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, you know, I was just so fucking shy. I couldn't like go up and like feel confident. Like, I just was so scared of like mostly is like judgment, I guess, or like trying to be funny, like, you know, and getting the laughs and all that. But like, naturally, I think we have it in us. It's just doing it in front of somebody is just like a completely different experience. Like, and, you know, it was just so hard for me to, and because of that, I just kind of, it was a high for me. And I don't know if that's what it is for you guys when you guys do like stand up. It's like you get that high.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's like, I think Conan O'Brien described it the best. He said it's like heroin, you know. I remember the first time I did comedy, like stand up, I clearly bombed. But I got one laugh in 5 minutes. That's so bad. I got one laugh, and that was enough to keep me wanting to come back. Right, just that one moment of approval was enough. And I think that's what you're like. Yeah, you're always like chasing the high, and that's why like stand-ups and like improv people too, like live performance comedy people, they're a little insane because, you know, like. I don't want to name his name, but there's like a comedian in LA who's like a millionaire, and he's so famous. And he's doing great. And I did a show with him the other day in front of 7 people. And I was just thinking, like, I was like, you don't have to be here at all. Like, you drive, you have 3 Teslas. Like, go home. But he wanted it. He wanted to be there because of that high you're talking about. Even if it's among seven people, I think in his head he was like, if I can crush, that's gonna, in front of seven people, that's gonna make me feel good about myself. You know, we're always sort of chasing that high. Yeah.
For sure. I'm pretty lucky to have gone to a lot of comedy shows where I get to see like these people who are like huge, you know, like, you know, Joe Coy and like the Tiffany Haddish and all this. It's like, so many times have I seen these big comedians who have like Netflix specials, who are doing huge things, and they're there just to like, you know, riff, like just to like have fun. And they, this just one time talk, I, Joe Coy was like doing this, like, I think it was like a room of like 50 people. It was like his first show back, I think it was the Comedy Cellar, I want to say. And Tiffany Haddish had come and they literally riffed for like 3-4 hours. And it was insane to watch them doing this thing that they fucking love to do. They didn't have to do this. They were just there because they fucking enjoyed it. And like, I see that the most with comedians doing this thing for like for free, basically. Right.
Yeah.
It's just like having fun. It's so exciting to watch. It's like, it's just such a crazy feeling for people like outsiders to be watching too. It's beautiful.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's like, you sound, wait, do you stand up or no?
Yeah, do you do stand-up?
No, I...
Don't do stand-up because you'll probably, like, surpass us in, like, 6 months.
Yeah, actually, please
don't
do
it. It'll be a whole thing. So don't do stand-up, please.
Promise us you won't do it.
Okay. Promise you won't. Stop.
Promise you right now you won't do it.
Please stick to all the other successful things you've done.
Steffi, can I ask you a question? Because I feel like...
Bro, you can ask me anything.
I'm gonna ask you this question.
I don't know if I'm going to answer it, but yes.
No, you will answer it. You will answer it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so... I feel, and you know, you're kind of like newer to the comedy scene, but you are part of this podcast. It's a comedy podcast. It's very funny. And you have a lot of comedians on it. You have a lot of Asian comedians on it. And I feel, and I feel this way with like Bobby Lee's podcast and Tiger Belly. And hopefully we do this a little bit too. Mike and I we're always, the reason why we ask each other what kind of Asian we are this week is because our whole thing is like the Asian American experience is just makes no sense, and it's very hard to explain to other people because it's not one, it's like never identical, you know, people come from for different reasons and all that shit, and that bleeds into comedy, I believe. You know, I always say, you know, sure, you can do like an impression of like a black Def Jam comedian, but you can't do an impression of an Asian American comedian because we don't necessarily have like a specific style that's been ingrained into the greater art form of stand-up comedy. But sometimes when I listen to Tiger Belly or like watch you guys play your like that game you guys play, like Minority Report, where you guess the ethnicity based on somebody's voice, which is fucking so racist and hilarious, by the way. You know,
is it not racist to do what you guys do with the?
It 100% is. And I'm not saying own it.
Oh no, wait, it's great.
Own it.
Can I ask what is? Sorry to cut you off, but just like really quickly, what the fuck is our? Like, why are we so obsessed with trying to guess each other's races? Like, we love it. The minute you meet a new person, you immediately want to be like, what race? Like, you know it. That's like one of the first things.
No, it is. Oh, my God. This is so true. I feel like... So I went and had a nice hot pot with my friends yesterday, and they brought two of their friends. These two super nice Asian dudes, hot guys. Two Asian hot guys.
Hey.
And I was like trying to think in my mind. I was like, how do I ask them? There should be a way for Asian people to ask what Asian you are, because I feel like we are all curious about it, and we're not like being. Because I'm not gonna be like, oh, you're Chinese, ni hao. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna.
That's not
gonna be an Asian.
You just want to know.
I just want to know, and I did want to know, and I was trying to think about it, like, ultimately, I just had to ask them. I was
Why don't you play the game that we play? Just ask for their last name, and then you guess.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. But I found out, so one of the dudes was Chinese, which is great because I was like, you know what it is too? When you go out with an Asian group of people, you want to have a bunch of different ones. It's almost kind of like when you go and you play Final Fantasy. You want like the fighter. You want a mage.
Yeah.
You want
the healer.
Healer.
Yeah.
Okay. Because then you can go to different places and they're like, don't worry, I got you. I'm Chinese. I'm at a Chinese place. I know about all this shit. I speak Mandarin.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Then we got a Vietnamese dude. Hey, don't worry. whatever Vietnamese guys do, but one of the guys was Vietnamese, and as soon as he said it, then I know this might just be in your mind, but I felt like, okay, I can kind of talk to him about a couple of things. For example, like, this is a very Vietnamese New York thing, like, oh, where's your favorite pho restaurant, right? Like, that's always something we're, like, trying to pass back and forth to each other.
Yes, yes.
Especially if you come from California, because there's so many, then you're, like, and then you come to New York, and there's, like, there's a lot fewer Vietnamese restaurants. So we're always trying to, like, pass that back and forth to each other. And we can do it very openly. You know, it's different from, like, if a white guy's asking you. Because a Vietnamese guy asking another Vietnamese person, like, where's the pho? What, you know, we know what we mean. We mean, like, where's an inexpensive but good pho place?
Yeah.
That's what we really mean, not just, like, where's a good pho restaurant that has also great drinks? Man, we don't give a shit about that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like there is a little bit of that, but yeah.
Steffi, what do you want to know?
Yeah, what's going on there?
Why do you think you want to know? Because we all want to know.
Because relatability, in the end, the essence of us, I think, a lot of humans...
Oh, shit.
Most humans is that we want to feel acceptance, love, and a feeling of fitting in. So to me, I'm like, I think it's just, we're like, hey, are you like the same type of Asian? Or like, we want to be able to talk to them about something that we can relate to. So if you're Japanese, I want to like talk about whatever, you know what I mean? Like something where you want to be able to relate. So I think with Asians, it's just so much easier that way. Also I was going to say, I wonder if it's because we're Asian American, but no, I think even if I was like literally like just from Korea, like I would still just want to know what kind of, so yeah, I think in the end it's like relatability, right?
Yeah.
Just
I think agree with you.
I think there's like different levels for me. So to both of your points, I think Steph, you want to know if somebody's Korean because you're Korean and there's that, and Mike with the Vietnamese thing. I have the same thing with Japanese people because I just don't have a lot of Japanese friends, so I just always want to make Japanese friends, so there's that.
Yeah, for sure.
But
yeah,
but if they're not Japanese, I think there's another level of like, I just want to make sure like I'm being like sensitive and respectful to that their people, I guess, if that makes sense, you know? Like,
normally you want to talk shit about any other culture that's not yours.
Yeah. Hey, is that just me? Is that me? Or is that not all your fucking aunts?
We want to know what kind of, we want to know what kind of race, what level of racism we can get out.
Can
you know
we,
what I'm
like,
saying? No.
You know, it's like, for sure, I'm at another level where, of course, I want to know what ethnicity you are, but if you tell me you're an Asian person from the Midwest, I get like bonus excited.
Yeah,
that's Midwest. Like, if you're like a Midwestern Asian, that means more to me than if you tell me you're like Mongolian.
And Steffi, because you said you're from California, so then like I can kind of like layer in like all these different, like for Fumi, right? If you're when I was first getting to know Fumi, I had to explain what boba was. He didn't know what that shit was.
I don't know.
You
know,
I had to explain why why you got to wear your Supreme bag across your shoulder. He didn't know that shit. You know what I'm saying?
It was,
you know, he doesn't know he doesn't know what souping up an Integra means. He thinks it's a soup. He thinks it means literally soup. So,
so you're like the Asian.
I'm dumping miso soup on the Honda Civic.
Yeah. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what that means. So I feel that's you. There is an shared experience that there's a shorthand you kind of you're allowed to assume. I will say I feel one thing that was nice with going back to getting passed at the stand is when you go to the stand, it's generally not. It's not like it's a mixed crowd, but it's a little bit more. It's a club, so it's going to be a little bit more city. There's some tourists there. And for me, for a long time, was, are they going to get me because I'm this Vietnamese dude? I don't want to say I was ashamed. I wasn't ashamed of who I was, but I was like a little insecure as far as like, you know, will they get the things that I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that as you do stand up, you really just have to be who you are and like own these things. And the crowd will end up liking you. If you're passionate about boba, they'll become passionate about boba.
You think so? Because I've had I get to watch a lot of comedy shows, I think, just because of the circles, and I'm sure it's like that for you guys. I don't know because I'm not a comedian or whatever, but like I've seen a lot of Asian comedians because of the Cry Laters. I've been to all the shows.
Yeah.
And then I'll see a lot of them like perform like at outside like non-Asian spaces.
Yeah.
Even non-Asians who come and perform at Cry Later do the exact same shows at other places, and like they don't hit the same. Like it's always there.
You got a point. So what I was gonna sort of finish with, because you got a point there, is I will say that I think, you know, I can go into a lot of different crowds, and I had just try to bring yourself right to each one of them, and this is all you can do as a comedian, just try to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that if you go, somehow you're making drinking a Dunkin' Donut coffee look cool. I don't know, how is that possible?
I fucking love Dunkin' Donuts.
She's drinking a Dunkin' and it somehow matches your outfit. What the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
What the fuck? You're so cool. If you saw me drinking a Dunkin' Donut coffee outside, you'd be like, Mike is, wow, he's really in the bag.
He's going through a divorce right now.
He's going through a divorce right now.
If you do it with confidence, is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so getting back on track, I will say that if I go to an Asian show, quote unquote Asian show, where I think there's more Asian people or that's the vibe or whatever, I get, going back to Final Fantasy, I get like a plus two in comedy, plus two strength. Because I have a bunch of jokes that I can really like lay into. So for example, I have a bunch of jokes. I have a joke where there's no Asian people in the Bible, right? And then there's a branch of that joke that I don't normally do about Kumon. There's a bunch of stuff about Kumon I do. But it sometimes will work at a regular crowd, like on, but I mean a non-Asian crowd, but I'll have to kind of get them to understand what Kumon is. But then if it's an Asian crowd, I go, Kumon, you know, it's what happens when Asian parents outsource child abuse. You know, that's what Kumon is. So like, that's what I can do jokes like that. And they go, okay, cool, I got you. And they'll go, I've never heard anyone talk about Kumon before.
Right.
So that's like a nice thing to have. So I would say you got a point as far as, you know, when you go as an Asian entertainer to some place and then you have that base understanding, the potential for connection is higher because you have that kind of like, okay, we got the potential to really connect on something, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I think it's until we pass... Maybe I was putting all this together is like the passing of like asking about the age, like, you know, when I think of like black comedians, they're like so good at what they do. And there's just, I think a lot of our culture knows about maybe like black culture. Like we're so into it. It's so cool, you know? And like, I think we're getting to a point with Asians where we're getting to that level of like people are getting to know us, like not just Asians, but like everyone in a whole. And if you get to that point that Asian comedy will hit for everyone. Do you know? Like, I don't think enough non-Asians know about the different types of Asians and, you know, our culture enough. So once we get out of that and people can start seeing us as less than just like Asian, or maybe it is just being like, yes, they're Asian, but they know like what to relate to on a larger sense, it'll make more sense. And I see that with like the younger generation know a lot about like, for example, that's about true. Like K-pop or like, you know, Korean culture. So they know because of, you know, like these these K-pop artists, they care about the culture just generally. And so they're able to relate to the Korean culture. And so maybe that's why I see, you know, Koreans when they perform like stand up or whatever it is, like they're like, okay, like I get this. Like this is funny. And I see the younger generation really into it. So I don't know. I don't know about any of the other Asians.
I agree. Yeah. I think, and naturally that leads us into sort of the last little section we want to talk about was the continued Korean dominance in the media, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because
right
now, the biggest show on Netflix, which is crazy, Squid Game, I feel too, Netflix has kind of been kind of, you know, what, like they got the crown, but then once, you know, there's like a couple of flagship shows. There's the crown. But then after that, then there's like a bunch of like weird crap that's on there.
Well, Ozark. Ozark is good.
Ozark, you know, but it's cool to see this show come out. Squid Game, it's on Netflix. And, you know, what's I think is really hitting really hard besides just the way it's done and all the actors and everything like that is like the social commentary about it, right? Because I did a whole bunch of research about Korea and debt. And for people who don't know about the show, Squid Game is about, it's essentially like a big game show where there's a bunch of people who owe a shit ton of money, you know, privately. You know, they owe it to like a bank, or the main character, he owes it to like a mob guys. And the game is, you know, you can play these childhood games like red light, green light. And if you survive, because you die if you don't win, if you don't survive the game, you get a bunch of money. And I think that's kind of like really also what makes it really interesting, because it's not just, you know, some people have said that this is kind of like Battle Royale. I don't know if you ever saw that from, when is that, like 1999 or some 2000 maybe? That's like a different thing. That's kind of like, it was these kids who were forced to, you know, kill each other. This is a Japanese movie. And that's kind of like a different setup versus Squid Game, where it's about like, you know, people who have money and people who don't. And I was thinking, you know, a lot of Korean shit comes out. You know, Parasite was about inequality, right? People who have something and people who have nothing. You know, so I think that's like really kind of what drives it. I don't know if you had any media thoughts. I know you talked a little bit about it on your show, Steffi.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's also very similar to a mix of like Hunger Games. I feel like that's like a great way to see it. It's class, right? Mm-hmm. It is money and class and all that. We did a whole episode on Squid Game, and we gave up. Like, it was so bad. Like, nobody should watch that episode unless they want spoilers. It's literally all spoilers throughout. I thought it was such a freaking awesome show, and it was easy for everyone to understand and relate to. And I think that's what it is, because everyone understands classism, like everybody.
So there's no spoilers here, because guess what? I've only seen one episode so far.
Oh my God, I've only
had time to watch one episode. I want to watch more. If anything, just for that guy who slaps people at the beginning, that guy is so hot. I was like, oh my God. This is great.
The slapping?
The guy, the slapping guy. He was so handsome. But I wanted to talk about...
Oh, he's hot. I thought you meant the slapping was hot. I was like,
well, that too.
Okay.
But like, yeah, I wanted to... Kinda, I did a bunch of research.
Ooh.
I did a bunch of research. And this is going to be an interesting one, where if for this podcast, comedy podcast episode, where we call our fans anals, mm-hmm. I'm on websites like Wall Street Journal and foreignpolicy.com in order to understand more about South Korean economy, the South Korean economy. For example, I found out that the household debt, which is how much debt privately held in a household by all the members, the total debt in Korea for all household debt is number one in the world as a percentage of GDP. Okay, so and right now, and as of like at the beginning of 2020, it's 105%. So that means there's more household debt. Which means, like, you know, hey, Bob Kim, that's not his name, but Bob Kim and Susie Kim, you know, they have a bunch of debt. All this private debt is higher than the GDP of the country, right?
Mm.
Just to show you, America is number four, and we're like at 76% of GDP. When it's really, really high, the last time it was really high in America, the financial crisis happened in 2008. Mm. And so some people are very worried about this. Another thing I found out is that elder poverty in Korea is the highest in any developed country. So that means if you're over the age of 65, I'm sorry, people over the age of 65, 40% of those people in Korea live below the poverty line, right?
Wow.
I forgot what it is in other countries, but it's by far the highest, which is kind of crazy. So,
wow.
You know, I don't necessarily want to talk about Korea, but I feel like, hey, we're comedians. We know about debt. We po, you know? I mean, I feel Vietnamese people, you know, there is a lot of pressure to, you know, own stuff, be flashy, you know, spend a little bit. I mean, my dad was terrible with money. And you know, so much so that, like, you know, kind of just, like, broke up my mom and my dad because he was so bad with money. And I don't think I'm great with money because I learned those bad behaviors. You know, but I wanted to hear what y'all had to y'all's experience with this is, because I feel watching Squid Game, you're like, damn, I know about this. Hey, man, you know what? If a handsome guy wanted to slap me in the face for $100, I'd be like, you know what? I need that money. Okay, all right.
Would we be part of Squid Game?
Yeah. What do you think?
I think that I could see myself getting to the desperate point, like if I was just had nothing to rely on, and I was just. At the end of my wit, yeah, I think I would do it. I think I would do that. I mean, if you have nothing to live for anyways, I'm like, if it's either death or like you're just gonna like, you know, like why not?
Right.
Whatever, you know what I mean? Like, who gives a fuck? I think we've all been through like a form of like depression to that point where you're just like, you
maybe
know?
I'm worth more, yeah.
Yeah,
playing red light, green light versus being alive.
Yeah. I think gambling is a huge issue in Asian culture.
Yeah.
In a lot of cultures, all of us I have noticed that they will throw in a lot of, like, even that, what was that? Do you guys watch that Donut King?
Yes, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
That shit was crazy. That guy lost it all.
He lost it all, and it was like he couldn't like control like, he couldn't... I actually also have a friend who, like, has a pretty successful business, and his family was, like, you know, billions, and like, they used to be, like, billionaires, but they had, like, embezzled money and, like, gambled it off, and, like...
Oh, shit.
Yeah! It's just, I there's something... I think there's something, like, ingrained in us of, like, just, like... maybe it's, like, an immigrant thing?
Maybe, yeah. Just, like, the idea that you gotta go hard in order to get any kind of rewards, or... You had nothing anyway, so you might as well go for it.
Right, I think because your starting point is negative. So even when you become a billionaire, like this Donut King guy, he's, for those of you who don't know, he was like a Cambodian immigrant entrepreneur. He started a donut chain, blew up. That's why in LA, Steph is drinking Dunkin' Donuts, but the whole documentary was about how there's aren't many Dunkin' Donuts because the Cambodians have the market unlocked. Nobody wants to go to Dunkin' Donuts because a lot of Cambodian donut shops are like what LA people want to go to. And so, but this guy became like a millionaire, and then he got a gamble addiction, and he had all these franchises. He would only let other Cambodian immigrants start a donut shop under his name. But he got so addicted to gambling that he'd go over there and be like, if you give me $50,000 in cash right now, I'll just give you this whole franchise. And that's how he lost all of his donut branches.
Crazy.
Because he was gambling or whatever. But I think for him, because the first half of the documentary is actually very sad. It goes into the history of like the war and, you know, Vietnam's in there and all that shit. And like, and he was in the army and like, and love and like how he met his wife and how they built this business from literally nothing. I feel like, because that's your level one. So that's why you gamble $50,000, because you're like, I used to be in war. Like this,
right?
I can live without any of this. I can live with like 20 tanks around me, you know? And so that's like, I mean, I don't know if that's exactly why he did it, but that logic sort of makes sense to me, you know?
That logic does make sense. I don't know. Steph, what do you think?
I think that people need to get their gambling issues like in hand. About that movie, it was cool to see that I can't tell how happy he really was at the end of it. Like, I don't know. Do you think that he said he was happy, but he did have the respect because he did help the community. People came out and were like, you know, he gave a lot of opportunities, a lot of families chances with their franchises and stuff like that. So it was really beautiful to see that. But was he fucking happy? Are we all really happy without all this, you know, with nothing but just knowing that we did something? I don't know. I don't know, maybe. I don't feel.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying
money is such a fucking, I don't know.
You're saying you don't know if he was happy when he had it all with the mansion and everything like that.
Yeah, I don't even think that he was as happy as he was even at the end, like when he didn't have anything. All he had was his community who, I guess, respected him. Is respect all you... I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I don't got anything. I don't got any respect or money. So maybe that... I mean,
I'll take respect.
Nobody
but you know what? Maybe at the end, it's what you're doing. Like, are you happy because you do what you do? You know?
No, that's not true. Nope. I don't think so. Well, if you guys are, you know, got some time, check out Donut King and fucking Squid Game.
Shout out to Donut King.
Shout out to those things.
Shout out also
to Pachanga Casino. That's one of the sponsors of the show. You know, if you want to fall into debt. This has been a lot of fun. We're here with our guest, Steffi Bake. We want to just quickly play our game just to kind of wrap this up. This is a game we play with a lot of our guests. It's called Asian Not Asian. And the way this works, Steffi, is we're going to say something, to say like a topic, and you tell us if it's Asian or not Asian. Okay, and you got to show your work. You got to tell us why. There is a right answer. Okay?
Right.
According to us, because we're experts. So, okay. How's that sound? That sound good?
All right, sounds good.
Okay, Steffi, is this Asian or not Asian?
Here you go.
The urge to want to know someone's family heritage.
Ooh.
That is absolutely Asian.
What about it makes it Asian, you think?
We're just fucking nosy. So like
we are nosy. That's really what it comes down to.
Like, we're very nosy. We need to know the history. We need to know whether you are someone we want to stick to. Do we trust you? Are we you know, like there's a lot to wanting to know about a person.
Okay, I work with this is another writer at the show who's Chinese American, and when they first showed me on one of the first episodes where I moved to LA, his mom texted him and was like, "Who's other Asian guy?" And then he was like, "Oh, his name is Fumi. He's a new writer." And then she goes, "What kind of Asian?" And he goes, "Japanese." And she goes, "Okay, thanks." And that was it. She just wanted to know who I was and what kind of Asian I was. And that's
maybe sometimes also who not to have sex with. Because a lot of Asians have the same last name, and you got to know the heritage and like the lineage. Maybe.
Oh, I've heard about. I've especially heard about this about Korean people named Pak. I don't know if that's similar because like I've heard that like
isn't Pak Park? Isn't that the same thing?
Well, so I mean, and it depends on the spell. So that's the thing I heard was I had a friend, his name was Pak, and he was like, "Oh, I can't date anyone else named Pak because you know it's a chance that we're all like the people who came to this country named Pak are all related." And I was like, "Really?" So that's what he always told me that. I know that's real or not. This is me.
Oh, I don't know enough.
That's not fucked. I mean, that's fucked up. Everybody's named Nguyen in my yeah. So just. We're just gonna have to roll with
it. I've never met a bake though, so I think you're good. I think you can fuck anybody. So,
I know a few bakes, and I have a cousin who's actually an Asian rapper in I don't even know if I should be talking about this, but in Brazil, and he reached out to me through Instagram, and I had no idea. I didn't know he was a bake. I just thought, oh, he's an Asian rapper, like fairly cute.
Oh, hey, you can fuck him? Yeah. Don't fuck him.
I didn't know. So like he invited me out to a club when I was in Brazil. My family's from Brazil.
Oh my god.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my god, is this gonna become a Pornhub section? Go ahead.
What are you doing, step cousin?
What's going on here?
I'm stuck in this laundry machine.
Stuck in the laundry machine. I'm a cousin.
Dude, I've met some bakes out here too that I find attractive, and there's something going on. I mean, it makes sense, you know, when we're like attracted to like people that maybe look like us too. Or maybe I'm putting that into my mind, but
I think that's just you.
Maybe you're good looking. I'm not gonna be attracted to someone with my face. Good lord.
Yeah, you're right. That's the nice thing about being ugly like me and Mike. I'm never, if someone looks like me, I'm like, you need to step the fuck away right now.
Stop. You guys are not ugly, by the way. Stop it.
Very sweet.
Very sweet.
I just very quickly, a quick story. I just remembered this too. I remember my grandfather who spoke pretty good English, but you know, obviously he's Vietnamese, and he once had to order pizza from Pizza Hut, and he was ordering pizza and he was having a hard time because hey, pepperoni is a weird word, okay? And then he found out that the guy on the other line, this, you know, some dude on the other line was Vietnamese, and he as soon as he found out, he switched over to Vietnamese, and it was so funny because he did the equivalent of, "My dude, are you serious? I can't believe you're Vietnamese." And like he was able to communicate like perfectly. So I think sometimes too, you got to forget, hey man, if you're Vietnamese, sometimes I'm afraid people will find out I'm Vietnamese because then they start talking to me in Vietnamese. And I'm like, yo, no, I'm not that kind. I'm more of a Latin Vietnamese, you know? So like, Spanish is my lingua. So Dunkin' Donuts.
Not Asian.
Not Asian.
No.
Not Asian. How come?
Because all the Donut King. Very good. Thank you. Did I get an A+?
Yes.
Thank you, Professor Nguyen. But yeah, definitely not Asian. You have to have the title Donut or any other like donut name outside of. It can't be a franchise like this for it to be a real Asian establishment. So no, Dunkin' Donuts is not Asian. I've never even seen an Asian work at a Dunkin' Donuts, I think.
I'm sure they do. There's a Dunkin' Donuts in Chinatown in New York, you know. I'm sure they're out there.
I have to think about it. I've not been inside a Dunkin' Donuts because, you know.
Do you guys,
your life is in shambles.
Did you guys, when you slept over at your white friend's house when you were little, did their parents give you donuts for breakfast the following morning? You don't know what I'm talking about?
No,
you,
I don't. See, this is what I'm talking about.
This is
with, like,
you have no idea what I'm talking about?
I can't relate to this at all.
This is the most American thing I'm saying right now. Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
You sleep over at your white friend's house, and the next morning, they buy you donuts as breakfast. What did you eat for breakfast if you slept over at your friend's house?
First of all, I was not allowed to sleep over at someone's house. Unless they were Asian, so that
now
itself is
relatable.
Not
now that's relatable.
What the hell?
No, we don't trust people outside of our own race. So.
That's insane to me. Well, first of all, yeah. I don't know what that's all about, but also the fact that you don't know what I'm talking. This donut breakfast culture.
I don't know about this donut.
Insane to me that you don't know what I'm talking about. But please, continue.
Yeah. All right. How about one more? How about one more for the game?
Not knowing the full lineup to your own comedy show. Is that Asian or not Asian?
Fuck, I don't even know how to answer that one. I think I feel like being Asian, typically they are meticulous and detailed. Mm. I'm a bad Asian, so I would say yes, it is Asian. It's just I can't relate to it.
You know what though, I will say it is also a very Asian American thing to get it completely blasted at your birthday and
that's true,
you know what I'm saying? It sounded like you had a good time. So
I had a great time. A lot of things were unexpected. I didn't know what was happening most of the time. And
where am I? Who is this? Why is Bobby Lee in his underpants? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah,
that,
he was fucking.
That
he
itself
got,
happening.
He got naked. Yeah,
he really did. You know what, Fumi? I remember you told me that, and I was like, man, Fumi's just so exaggerating. And then I saw an Instagram picture of him straight up naked.
Oh, yeah.
At this
show,
that's and his, I was like, oh no, nope, that's really.
If we egged him on enough, I'm pretty sure he would have taken his underwear off.
Oh, 100%.
Wow,
100%.
We saw crotch hair.
Oh, geez.
On the microphone.
On the microphone.
You mean just like
he pulled, because he pulled it like right, like, you know, like right under where you could start seeing the.
I think
bone.
It's really cute that you call it crotch hair instead of pubes. But yeah, that's we did see that.
Yeah, I don't know. We saw ass. That was just was a treat. That was like a Bobby Lee little treat, and it was like kind of nice.
It was so nice. People were going crazy.
Oh yeah, that was were such you a going vibe. Crazy? Because I was fucking wilding out there.
Can I tell you what I did? I got there late on purpose because I wanted to go. I wanted Bobby Lee to see me, and so that was my plan. And then Bobby had to leave, so I actually went after Bobby, and that's probably why he never saw me, because I think everybody left after Bobby.
Oh,
all the famous people left after
that's
Bobby.
What it is. You know what? Oh wow, that's heavy to put you like right behind him. Like
oh, it was fine. It was fine.
You know what? Is that you know, you still have much to learn, Fumi, from this game, because he knew you were gonna do that, and he's like,
I know.
You know what? I'm gonna go before him, and I'm gonna show him my crotch hair. Ba boom.
Yeah. And I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna make all the famous people leave after my set.
Oh my god.
It was great.
Everybody everybody stayed there till the end. We all went karaokeing after that. We went to Intercrew, and then we went karaokeing after that, and we got to see like. I got to see like Benedict Wong karaoke, and he's
Whoa.
Fucking amazing singer.
Holy fuck.
And he's also just a fucking amazing person, like just super cool and very, very just like helpful, you know? Like he was just
what
like
does that
helpful.
Mean?
What does that mean? In the context of karaoke, does he hand you the books or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he was like,
he's entering
he's like
it
sing
in.
A,
yeah.
Let's sing along together. He's like, you're not hitting these pitches. Let's go a little
Whoa.
Higher.
Whoa.
No, I was just telling him about like my career, my acting career, and he just was like, I'll mentor you, and he told Dumb he would mentor us, and I mean I don't know how much of that was he was just a fucking cool ass dude. But like I got to see like a lot of people just like getting down, and a lot of people are just so a lot of Asians are hella talented Asian Americans, especially in the karaoke room. But it was like
well, I gotta go and bark for a comedy show later, so
I don't think we're doing this right.
Benedict Wong is not coming up to me and saying, I will mentor you.
I don't know
you.
How
no.
much of it is true.
Hey,
I'm like,
at least he said it. That's amazing. That's
amazing.
That's the game, Asian Not Asian. Thank you very much, Steffi. Steffi, where can... well, first of all, thank you very much for coming on the show and being great. Where can our fans find you and your work?
You can go on to my Instagram, at bakegoods, BIKEDGUDS. And then also you could just, I think all my socials are on there. You could follow me on my Twitch stream, which I'm doing. Come on. Yeah. It's Steffi Bake, STEFFIEBAIK. Where else can you find me? Just go on to there, and then also come on to the Fun with Dumb podcast. Check us out on there, and Yeah, that was a lot of fun, you guys. Thank you so much for having me. I loved it.
Hell yeah. Of course. You can also find us on all the social platforms at Asian.AsianPod. And I'm also on there at the Fumi Abe, the CHEFUMIABE.
And you can find me on Instagram at Nice Pants Bro.
Please come check out our next Hack City Comedy Show. I will be in New York for just that week. The next show is going to be October 14, 7:30 at Union Hall in Brooklyn. Go to Asian.AsianPod.com for tickets or check out the episode description of this episode.
Be sure to come and say hi to us and not just walk right past us at our own show and say hi and everything like that. Just kidding, Steffi. Steffi doesn't care. She doesn't care.
She don't care. She's getting mentored right now.
Yes.
Benedict Wong.
She's about to enter the loop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come hither, my child.
Yeah.
That would fuck me up, dude. Yeah. He's just like, hey, we're getting Jack in the Box.
I love that. All right. Well, Steffi, this was so much fun. Thank you. And Anals, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.